previous generations, they only really had like one major event that shaped the entire culture.
We only been on this earth for 3 decades, and in 3 decades, we were told 3 different times that we were gonna die.
We don't got the same fight in us that our ancestors used to have.
And I think that it's not just us finding our individuality. I think it's us prioritizing our joy over what we were told happiness was supposed to look like.
We got a chance to see some of the last groups of the world fake like they care about us, which makes us be like, if you don't care about us, we don't care about you.
I'm gonna go take a nap.
Wake me up when the world ends. Get on my motherfucking face.
Please.
Push the goddamn button.
Action.
Today we're just gonna have a discussion about millennials and why millennials are the way that we are. My logic is, they told us we was going to die 3 times. When we went from 1999 to 2000, the world was supposed to end. I think in 2012, the world was supposed to end. I believe in 2016.
2006? 2006. It was
Y2K.
2006, mm-hmm. The world was supposed to end on 666. Mm. Then 2012, the Mayan calendar.
They had the whole movie about it, too.
Mm-hmm. They had a whole movie. What happened in 2016?
I graduated.
I was going to say, because that means that was 4 times.
We've been lied to our entire life. They told us we did the things that they told us to do, and we still out here like, what's going on? We just tired and unbothered. We choose peace.
So when you say millennials are the way they are, what do you mean? How are we?
Unbothered. We don't care about what everybody else cares about, or we're not scared of what everybody else is scared of, because we already survived three world endings.
Apocalypse? Wouldn't those be apocalypses?
And then we had 9/11, pandemic, oof, the recession, oof, wildfires, mudslides. We did it all.
Tsunamis. Hurricane Katrina.
Yep.
We wasn't down there, but hurricane, it didn't impact. Hurricane Sandy.
Yeah, that one actually hit us.
Yeah, that was, well, you know, Delaware was kind of safe. Delaware kind of small, so the hurricanes be like, you don't get enough publicity.
What's the safe zone where people be like,
neutral? Switzerland. Yeah.
Yeah, Delaware is Switzerland.
But honestly, it's so interesting that you brought this topic up, because when I was at work, this is another work story. When I was at work, they was trying to, basically they was talking about millennials, because millennials is having less and less kids. And one lady was like, well, every time I turn around, I'm at a baby shower. And the other lady, her like daughters are like, they don't want kids. And I turned around, I was like, it's because we have the most debt. Like, it's so much debt. Like, why I'm sitting here thinking about kids? And it was like, well, you want kids? And I was like, yeah, but I need about 3 to 5 business years. I know I've been saying that for about 3 to 5 business years, but I just need a couple more.
The merger didn't close.
It didn't close yet.
The merger didn't go through yet.
But they was like, oh, because I said, because I don't plan on being broke when I have kids. And they was like, well, you can't plan for having kids. And I'm like, I mean, I know, but I can not be broke. Like,
why can't you plan to have kids?
Well, they said you can't prepare. Like, because what they were saying was, like, you know, even the celebrities, they have some type of hardship, or they have to pay for stuff or whatever. Just because, like, you could still have a kid and it's like you might not be expected for how much it cries. Or, like, it's not like having a dog, but it'd be unexpected stuff, like allergies, or like having to go to the doctor, or different things like that, different types of food, blah, 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 like buying more food for more people. But if I know that those are expenses that are potential,
I could prepare for that.
I could prepare to at least have the money already in place. If it happens along the way, it happens. But like, if I can just do everything in my control to already be wealthy when I do have kids, why I'm about to sit here and be broke? I was like, I didn't say it was going to be easy. They was like, oh, yes, it's not going to be easy. You can't make it easy. But I'm like, it don't got to be easy, but it don't got to be broke.
Yeah.
Like, we don't, I don't need to be broke having kids, because then you're just out here struggling. Why am I out here bringing somebody else into the struggle? Like, if it happens, it happens. Like, I wouldn't say I'm struggling, but I'm not making the kind of money that I would like to make to support me how I want to support me. What I look like bringing little Ray Ray out here?
Man, no more self-care.
Right? Like, I want to eat how I want to eat. I want to do the things that I want to do. So it's not time for me to have a child right now.
Word. Yes.
He have sleep, y'all. He agree.
I definitely agree. It was just funny. He was like, I want to eat what I want to eat. I want to do what I want to do. And I was thinking, it was like, that's probably what the baby's thinking too.
Probably. I'm supposed to have those thoughts, okay?
Older generations, in my opinion, they be trying to make it seem like we in the wrong for not doing what they did.
Or we in the wrong because they want something, but we're not willing to give it to them right now. Like, I'm not about to just pop out a baby because you want kids. Or I'm not going to buy a house because you bought a house when you were this age. It's like, my life is different from yours. Just because you decided to do what your parents did don't mean that I got to do what my parents did.
I was just going to also say, life is like, life now is completely different. Facts. Than it was back then. So you could go get a job. Like, the stuff that they told us to do, go to school, get good grades, go to college, get good grades, get a good job, get a house, start a family, mm-hmm. car, all this other stuff. It made sense back then. The great prophet Kanye said, the major that she majored in ain't make no money. Won't drop out of parents to look at her funny.
They will. They will look at you funny.
I ain't have a marketing job since I graduated 10 years ago.
I haven't had a music industry job since I graduated. I also gave that job up and decided that I didn't. That's all another story.
I had a potential music industry job after I graduated, but
he didn't want to do it.
Yeah, I mean, it was an hour and a half away, and it would have been like hey, you show up, you might make some money, you might not. No, I'm like, what is this?
Bingo, bango, bongo.
That's what I be saying.
But honestly, when you put into perspective, like, all of that, just like the fact that life is different now, but coupled with the fact that, like, We were told three times throughout our lives. Mind you, I'm 30. You 31. You 30.
Oh, yeah, all right. Put my business out there. Mm-hmm.
Mind you, we in our 30s. Does that matter? Mind you, we only been on this earth for 3 decades is my point. And in 3 decades, we were told three different times that we were going to die.
The first time, I was so young. All I remember is the big jugs of water that was bought. But my thing is now, if the world was about to end, why are we buying water?
Who carrying the water? Mm-hmm. That's going to stay in place. That's going to shelter in place.
Well, you got to buy the water because most people don't know how to get clean water from outside. So you have to make sure you got your own clean water.
Mm-hmm. But if the world is ending, when I hear world ending, we leaving too. It's over with. There's no more earth, no more beings on the earth. It's just poof. But so, like, what are we spending money on if we're not going to be here to drink the water? That's how I be thinking. If the world ends, when I hear end, I mean it's over. That means it's over with.
Yeah, I don't think, in my mind, I don't think the world is going to end. It would be the things that we need to exist.
The world as we know it
is going to be kaputs. The world is going to keep going. Is like, it's just gonna keep spinning.
I think they define it as how paradise, the show Paradise, is. That's the world ending, not going into a little bubble, but like how
the people outside.
Yeah, the people outside of the bubble is like they fighting to survive, or even like Walking Dead type of stuff. But in your head, you like, if the world is ending, it's like the dinosaurs. Dinosaurs ain't stick around. I ain't seen a dinosaur yet. So, you know.
I mean, technically a rhino would be a dinosaur, but I haven't seen one.
So are they extinct now?
Rhinoceroses?
Yeah.
I think they're on the precipice.
They're endangered.
What happens if they go extinct?
They ain't no more.
Yeah, there's no more. The same thing that happens with everything
they
else.
They are ended.
They're not. They gone. Kaputs.
The last dinosaur.
I'm saying, like, they said, if bees go extinct.
Then we die.
We die. Yeah. So if rhinos go extinct, is there something that happens because there are no more rhinos?
Not that I know of. I just know that we need to protect the bees because everybody out here worried about everything else. What about the bees?
Yeah, you think the pollen bad now?
Now, I thought about having a bee garden in my yard when I get a whole bunch of land at the far end.
Are you scared of bees?
Yeah, a little bit.
That's why I had the fart in.
I don't need them to come into the house. I need them to be, and I'll get a beekeeper, and they can just handle it.
You wouldn't want to be the beekeeper?
No.
I would just want to wear the suit.
You could do that without having to go around the bees.
What, wear the suit?
Yeah.
I was going to say, I would put on the suit, but I ain't.
You're pretty much wearing a fencing uniform. That's
but
what
then if like. I just put on the beekeeper suit, that'll be like weird.
It's cosplay.
I'm not a cosplayer.
It's Halloween. What did you go as? I was a beekeeper.
That's terrible.
I'm here to save the bees.
Now that's good.
No, but I seriously had that thought, though, to have the bees on the far end of the land. Yeah, let me know if you'd be interested.
You'd be interested.
You said what? What bees?
You'd be
no before that.
I ain't think about the bees. All I thought about was the butterfly garden.
I thought you were about to say the birds.
The butterfly garden, I do. That would be nice.
Anybody worry about no birds? Ain't no birds in the bees if we broke the other bee.
We just out here being birds. Because you know they say being broke is for the birds. No? They say stuff is for the birds.
They do.
That was funny.
You know, I think when you have to explain it, it loses some of the funny points.
But it was hilarious. Y'all got it out there, America.
It might be funny.
Nah, that wasn't good.
That wasn't. Right. Yeah, none of those were ha ha or he hee funny.
Let them know my joke was funny, America.
I just
Bernie Mac. The other B.
That was good. But I was saying all of that to say, if you think about like all of the stuff that we've lived through, and the fact that life is so different now, it makes so much sense why we're unbothered by a lot of stuff. Or even why we look so young. Because why I'm about to stress out if y'all saying the world ending again? Like,
yeah, it's not my fight. I'm already fighting the demons from my ancestors.
Right. We over here breaking generational curses.
Yeah.
I'm going to go take a nap.
I wouldn't say that.
Wake me up when the world ends.
But I was going to say, to be honest, I don't even know if it's that we're unbothered. I don't think we have the energy to care. I don't think we have the capacity to care. So I wouldn't, like, unbothered to me is always like, it's whatever, it's
you
cool.
You know what?
Like,
I do be bothered.
Yeah, like, because it'd be like, it's very bothering to see everything that's going on. Like, wow, that would bother me. But I haven't slept. So, you know, maybe if I take a nap, I'll wake up and have enough energy to care enough to do something.
But by the time I wake up, I don't even save the bees. That's all I'm thinking.
Is it just
me? Where's my bee suit, my man?
But every time I hear the word unbothered,
Omarion,
like a picture of Omarion pops up in my head.
That's his book name.
Yeah.
It is?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's good. Good marketing.
Yeah, he called himself Mr. Unbothered, and then he was bothered all throughout the Millennium Tour by people not standing.
Stand up!
I was like, that's not on brand,
distance
sir.
Distance between our bodies.
But that's why people be having the standing room in the front.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because you then that's automatically people that stand up. You don't got to worry about everybody else standing up.
Why is it so important that people stand up?
It makes them feel like, makes you feel like they're a part of the performance. Like, they're interactive. Mm-hmm. They want to be there. versus if they're just sitting down.
Feels like a lecture. I don't know, I mean, have you performed to a sitting down only crowd? Yeah. Did you like it better when they were sitting down or standing up?
I'm performing for me. I like my song.
But I think it's different when you're in a stadium versus when you're in like a cafe or like a lounge or a restaurant or something like that. Like if you're in a stadium or some type of like auditorium, a lot of times when you're sitting, the chairs are further back too. So it's nobody like right up front to like sing to or to like really connect with and vibe with. So I think that's part of the thing.
Makes sense. I ain't make it to a big stage yet.
You'll be there
but
soon.
But they're going to be standing up.
By the time this episode air, you're going to be on a big stage.
It's breaking.
I was going to say, back to the topic, a big part of millennials being the way we are is because, like, the transition from being a young adult or a child to being an adult, it was like, all right, all of these disasters are happening, the pandemics, all of this stuff is happening while we're still growing. And it's like, all right, you're clearly a kid, and then, like, you're clearly a kid during this time, and then out of nowhere, boom, I'm an adult. And now, people expect us to do something about this. And it's like, I didn't do nothing to begin with. I just showed up. Like, y'all, this is where y'all left me at. Like, this is where the game, y'all passed me the controller, and I got the big boss in front of me. And I'm still trying to figure out how to do the first punch. You want me to do the finisher? And I'm like, I didn't prepare for this yet.
I know it was one, two, that's it.
You talk about some handle this. Handle what?
I would say the biggest reason in that is because we was here, like, technology and everything is growing so fast. So, like, we was here before the internet. We was here while the internet was just starting. Then we was here, like, now, like,
AI.
The internet. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, like, the way technology and everything is moving, like, you learn one thing, and once you learn that thing, it becomes obsolete. So now you gotta learn something else. Mm-hmm. So, like, I feel like other generations, they got here, and the stuff was... Like they had their whole life without they was just trying to get from a landline to a cell phone.
That's crazy.
That's it. We went landline, cell phone, FaceTime.
Yeah, I mean they said that they were saying that this in like 2003. I remember I was in class. I remember when the teacher said it. She was saying that during, she was like pretty much in the last like 30 years. It's been more technological advancements than literally ever. And since I was in the third grade, I'm sure it's been even more. But just like the transition of stuff has been faster. And I think previous generations, they only really had, correct me if I'm wrong, they only really had like one major event that shaped the entire culture. You know, like the Great Depression, mm-hmm. right? It wasn't like,
the civil rights movement.
Yeah, I was gonna say maybe slavery, but you know, right? But I mean, even the civil rights movement.
So slavery, the civil rights movement, mm-hmm. Great Depression was before that. Or
it was
after.
the 1920s.
So yeah, somewhere
way after slavery.
Yeah. So, but it felt like, at least to me, how I imagined it in my head and how I remember the history books, we only had. They only had the major events. It was like one or two, maybe.
One per generation.
Yeah. It's like we just happened to have everything all at once. They're like, here, have seven. And we're like...
The ancestors. We was born in a time where the spiritual warfare was stirring up. So like, we here on Earth, but our ancestors and the spirits and the Zoos, they getting busy. They getting busy in the spiritual realm.
I just want to make a quick correction to my statement. Mm-hmm. It wasn't way after slavery, because slavery didn't end till like the 1883 or 63? 1800s. So mm-hmm. that was it. It just wasn't way after slavery. it's still not way after slavery.
Yeah.
But yeah. But I mean, even like to what you were saying, I feel like we have been through a lot. We have. I've seen a lot. It's been a lot of people being killed in the streets. It's been a lot of... So civil rights movement's still been happening.
Mm.
Just in a different way. Like, you know, Michael Jackson died. That was huge. Prince died. That was huge. Whitney died. This is a lot.
That's not what I thought when you
Everybody
said
Everybody we left with is nasty.
Oh, man.
No, but I think that there have been... I think that although there's been so many transitions, it shaped us in a way that, like, a lot of other generations before and after us won't... I guess they don't understand. Like, in a positive way and in some negative ways where sometimes... where I mean, now a lot of us are desensitized to a lot of things that do happen that are serious because... we don't have the energy to care or sometimes the resources. Like, even just thinking about the phones back in the day, like getting a Nokia or something, like getting some, just going in, you had to buy your minutes. You know, they wasn't thousands of dollars to get a phone. My phone plan, my very first one, was like $30 a month. And I was on a plan by myself. And, like, having that, just being able to text, being on MySpace, being on Facebook, being on Instagram, being on TikTok, being on whatever app comes next. It's just, it's been a lot of transitions. But it made us very adaptable and creative, I think, because we had to keep transitioning into new things. So people look at us like we're crazy.
We just know a little more. We experienced. Mm-hmm. That's it.
We're experienced in a different way that you wouldn't expect us to be experienced at our age.
So we eat our fruits and berries. We drink our water. We mind our business.
Facts.
We drink a little tea if we feeling frisky. You know?
Yeah.
Get your bitters. Get three bitters.
And, oh, so we also had a lot of technological changes, but we also got to enjoy being outside as kids.
Oh, word. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And coming inside and, watching some good black TV.
Yes. We got to watch some great black shows. So I feel like being a millennial, we're millennials, but we're like on the young, we're the younger millennials too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because the older millennials, they had to go through the crack era. I'm so serious.
I know.
In the 80s.
But like... did they go through the... did they...
Crack was here in the
80s. I mean, it was here in the 80s. I do hear what you're saying, but I was going to say...
Who's talking about his pops?
You say
you do your show.
Yeah.
Somebody from your entourage, go test the crack and make sure that it's good.
All right. I think there's a little bit of a gap, right? Because, like, the... and I correct me if I'm wrong. I don't know what the cutoff year for the 80s, but, like, the millennials that was in the 80s range, I don't really think that they were like dealing with the crack. They were more so like their parents.
Just born.
Yeah, they were born. Had, like, yeah, like
in the 80s, but kids were selling crack.
That wasn't really their fight. I don't think. I don't think the late. If I'm just correct me if I'm wrong. You know, like just. I don't think that was their...
I think their fight was like,
yeah.
You know,
but it,
like the 90s.
It affected them.
Yes.
Some of them, yes. But also...
I think we was kind of on the tail end of the crack kind of
fizzling. We wasn't born in the 80s.
Yes, I understand.
Crack was delivered to the United States of America. In the 80s.
Yeah, I don't know what the timeline is. America, we don't know what the timeline is on this couch, but...
The black community was amazing in the 70s. The black man was in the household and everything, so in order to break that up, they dropped crack in the black communities. They called them hoods, projects, and they let the crack do its thing.
Right.
Just got up and walked.
That white girl.
Get up and walk.
Yep, that is... that is accurate information. I just don't know if the earliest 90 millennials.
Well, some millennials was born in the 80s.
That's what I was. Well, yeah. I was gonna say what age. I don't know what the cutoff age is. Is what I'm saying. Because like we were born in the 90s. The stuff had happened in 1990 exactly. We weren't really dealing with. I wouldn't consider us going through and having to grow through that
millennials,
because we didn't. We weren't alive.
We weren't the first millennials.
Yeah,
so
I know.
Millennials started in the 80s. I'm speaking on behalf of all millennials here.
Yeah, that's why I don't know what the time frame is.
But I know
what
some millennials in the 80s.
That is A-okay. That is
A-okay. They have to deal with crack.
You know. Listen, whoever had to deal with crack, God bless you. God bless. That's all I'm going to say. God bless.
What is happening?
Yeah, I had a thought, but...
Crack?
Yeah, no, ain't no crack over here now.
Crack is whack.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely whack. Man, I had a point.
And we had to watch Whitney go through that.
Yup, so the crack affected us too.
Man.
He like, is the time up yet?
That's my favorite singer, Whitney Houston. I just love her voice. Ooh. Jersey.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You go Whitney, Lauryn Hill.
Jersey.
What
was you going to say?
Queen Latifah. Jersey.
I can't even really remember, to be honest.
Sue Surf.
Say free me till it's free me. I mean,
what?
Free me till it's me free. Till it's backwards. Say it backwards.
Let's move on.
Good choice.
Oh, man.
What were we talking about?
Millennials. Crap. And why we were here.
Woo. Even just the fact that we had to just think about that.
Millennials. Talking about why we are the way we are and all of that stuff. I also recognize, on a more serious note, I do know that in general, we don't got the same fight in us that our ancestors used to have. It's just not there. It's just not the same kind of.
It ain't.
I feel like
for better or worse.
I feel like it was more unity. Our ancestors had more unity.
Yeah.
Like, so they were fighting for
something
together. Like, as a collective, they were fighting for this one thing.
Yeah.
We ain't find out what we fighting for. We just, you know.
I think it's, they definitely had one thing that they were fighting for, but I also think that the general sentiment was they were more willing to plant the seed for people they would never meet.
Mm-hmm.
We're not, our generation is really not in that space. Like, we're like, bro, we're still trying to, like, connect to our level of individuality and maintaining our level of identity, which is fine because, like, shout out to the ancestors for setting it up so that we could do that. But in terms of, like, us and the generations after us, it's, like, it's not so much it's not so much a thing about people after us. It's more so about how we're feeling right now.
I think, you was about to say something?
I was just nodding my head in agreement, understanding.
I feel like a lot of that actually is because of the fact that we was hoodwinked into a lot of things or sold a dream that no longer existed. And we talked about this in the American Dream video, which we'll link it up here. But we were told, like you were saying earlier, of the dream of going to college, getting an education, getting a good job, getting a house, having the kids, having a great marriage, a great family, blah, blah, blah. We were told that these were the things that we were supposed to do, we had to do. These are the things that would make you happy. And I think that it's not only a thing of, like, finding our individuality. I think that it's a thing of we watched from the mountains.
We have watched from the mountains. My bad.
We watched.
Hey, auntie. My bad. Go ahead.
We discussed.
But we watched. Y'all got me almost losing my thought.
My bad.
So it's two points that I have. So we watched the generations, some of them before us, in what looks like would be a happy home or happy marriage or happy whatever. And we watch people be miserable, but stay in whatever structure they decide to stay in. We watch people stay in jobs and be miserable. We watched a lot of misery. We was told we was going to die 3 times. And I think that it's not just us finding our individuality. I think it's us prioritizing our joy over what we were told happiness was supposed to look like. And
To that point, I was just going to say, and we also finding out what life looks like for ourselves. Mm-hmm. So not just following the words that were told to us. It's actually going out and finding out, like you just said, what makes us happy, what we actually like, what we're supposed to be doing, what do we actually believe.
Yeah. Because a lot of the stuff, like, when we talk to our parents, a lot of the stuff is like, oh, well, my mom did it like this, so that's why I do it like that. Like, it's not a reason of, like, oh, I discovered this, or my mom did it like this, but I continue to do it like this because da-da-da-da. It's like, oh, well, this is just how they did it, so this is how I do it. This is what they eat, so this is what I eat. Like, and that's fine. Like, not knocking that for anybody, but I would like to know why I'm eating this thing that's not good for me for 40 years and have high blood pressure or whatever. Yeah. I don't think that's a good tradition to keep. For me personally, I don't feel like me getting a house right now would be in my best interest. Number one, because of the rates, the current market, it ain't $500 for the house no more. So it's just like, just stuff like that. I think that we were told and sold this American dream. We were told that, you know, getting the education would, you know, get us the good job. What is a good job? What is the good job? Because all these good jobs, y'all was telling us, but I had a good job. I had one of them good jobs. They ain't pay me nothing for it. But you could stay there. You could move up. You could stay there forever. But if I'm miserable, then what is the point of me being here? Because I don't like the idea of only waiting until the weekend to enjoy my life. That bothers me. That shouldn't be life. I'm sorry. I'm going on a tangent.
One thing I was going to say, some of the best advice that I got, or one of the best quotes that I heard that I now might apply to everything is, like, sicknesses and stuff typically not passed down. Like, so like diabetes and all this, that's not what's passed down. What's passed down is the recipes. Mm-hmm. So even if you think about, just like a way of life, the environment, how much money you make, who you're around, what you do, what job you have, what school you go to, those things aren't passed down. It's the mindset that leads you there.
Yeah, I mean, well, I agree, yes. I would say typically, yeah, it's the recipes, it's the habits, it's the mindset. But I also know that I think in some way or fashion, like, in your genes, it's like you have it's like the ability to end up inheriting this thing. Like, it's like it's not activated yet, but if you do the things that your parents did, it's going to be activated. Mm-hmm. So it's like it's there, it's going to be there because your parents did it. Because your parents were doing this while you were pregnant and whatever, while they were pregnant. And like, so it carried over, but you don't have to inherit it just because it's like it's not something that you, like, you're definitely going to get it. If you do something different, you can live without it, that kind of thing.
And I also will say, even to that, some of the stuff is like the quality of food that we have now is not the same quality of food that they had. So when you think about, like, all of the processed stuff that we're eating, like, yeah, maybe they was fine 60, 70 years ago eating this stuff. Some of it still wasn't good for them, but, like,
sugar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but
it's that crack.
They might have been, it might not have had the same effects as it had before because the meat was fresher, or, you know, like, the vegetables were fresher and stuff like that. The soil still had nutrients in it. Different things like that make a difference. Versus now, where it's like, well, I just got this out of a pack. I'm not going down to the the butcher to go get some fresh meat or anything like that. And even still, they was dying from gout and all that stuff. And, you know, it just, it's different circumstances. So it's like, I can't operate in the same way that y'all are telling me to operate, that like how you operated, because everything is different now. Even the quality of water. Well, I don't know how the quality of water was back then, but, you know.
I mean, we used to be drinking out tap water.
We did. We can't do that. That's the thing. Like, we can't necessarily drink out of tap water anywhere that we go now. That's another thing. So it's just, it's differences. And I think the transitions, how different it was when we were growing up versus now, is even just a testament of like how much things have changed. But when you look at now versus 60, 70 years ago, this is a whole different earth, whole different America.
Whole America.
I also will say, I think our generation, specifically the millennials, I think the gap between being a kid and being an adult was, I kind of want to say elongated a little bit, because like when you were previous generations, you got married at like 15, 16. So like they gave us time, like they, thank God. Yeah, I appreciate it. But they gave us time before we had to be like, you had to be an adult. Like it felt like the time frame was different. So that's probably why we aged a lot slower. You know, we look a lot younger because we weren't forced to do a lot of the stuff early on. Like you not being forced to raise a family at 17, right? Well, can it'll save you some years on your life. You know what I'm saying? Like you won't stress as much. So like there's that. But again, on the flip side, during those times where it's like, we're being kids, we're just like, hey, I'm just trying to do what I'm doing. We had great entertainment. We had great music, great TV shows. And I feel like we had great distractions that went along with our great tragedies at the same time. So it's like, oh, word, this thing happened. Here's a great TV show that you guys can watch. Here's American Idol. Here's all of these other things. Here's the internet. Like, it's so many things that they gave us in conjunction with the bad stuff that it felt like, all right, we didn't even really have time to process the bad stuff because they were distracted by something else. And then by the time we realized we were distracted by one thing, we have something else. Oh, all right, 9/11, cool. After 9/11, all right, we got hurricanes. We got fall of an economy. Like, it's just all of these things that would happen. And then it would be like, but you guys can celebrate here. We gave you guys this great thing. So I think part of that is like us. And I think it's a subtle thing that everybody would like. I think our generation is looking for something that's like feels real, because everything felt manufactured beforehand, at least for me. I feel like there was so much that I thought was real that's not real, and now I'm looking for things that actually are real.
Yeah, I was just going to say real quick, even though we had so many distractions, I would say the messaging within the distraction was, I would say, like, helpful, useful. It was, like, useful information in the messaging of the distractions, because we had, like, it was us making the stuff. Like, so it was Black people making stuff for Black people about the Black experience. Not, it wasn't a thing of...
Yeah, unless you're talking about Kelsey Grammer and Girlfriends. But, you know.
It was some white people. But yeah. I mean, I think...
I wasn't talking about that.
Yeah, I was talking about... The show, you know, my bad. Just saying, okay.
I was going to say, I think it was like the way that the diversity showed up in television, as far as like even the writers' rooms and the topics that they focused on when it came to Black shows, because it wasn't only Black people working on the Black shows. So even then, it was just a lot more authentic to what the Black experience was.
But it was catered to
black people. Yeah.
It wasn't like other cultures trying to make stuff. I don't know. It wasn't Black people trying to cater to other cultures.
Yeah. It was Black people catering to black people.
That's
right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I do definitely recognize that there's been a shift in that and how that goes. But I mean, even now, like, we don't know what's happening with the world. but I'm still here. And that's all I can focus on.
Yep. And I think something else that happened during that time was I feel like we got a chance to see some of the last groups of people, or whether it was government, it just last groups of the world, fake like they care about us. Mm-hmm. Like now it's like they're not even gonna fake like they care. Like that's the reason why some of the food is like the food is the way it is. That's like, oh, we really don't care. Like before they used to be like, all right, we're not gonna give you poison every day of the week. We're gonna give you poison two out of the 7 days, so that, you know, we're not monsters, you know. We wanna make a profit, but we're not monsters. Like now they don't care at all. They're like, hey, I'm gonna do this and we don't care about y'all, which makes us be like, if you don't care about us, we don't care about you. You know what I'm saying? Ain't about me. Yeah, exactly.
I was even even to your point. I had just seen a post where they said because the FDA's funding has been cut so much, like they're not going to be regulating dairy anymore. Like any dairy products, milk in general, like they're not regulating it because they can't afford to send people to the farms anymore because they're not getting reimbursed for their travel. So they can't afford to send people to the farms to check to make sure that everything is being pasteurized or that the farms are inhumane, like they were kind of humane conditions. So like even with that, just like thinking about if they're not regulating dairy, who knows what else they already stopped regulating. And then it's just kind of like, well, this is what y'all voted for. But it's another thing. I will say another thing that happened, and then I got one more point. Another thing that happened while we were growing up was us seeing the first black president.
Mm-hmm. I thought about that too. You took it right out of my head.
That was like a major, major, major moment for us as black people in this country and for millennials. I'll say black millennials. I don't know how the white people felt. But that was like a major moment. And I almost cried. Like some girl in class, I was in seventh grade. Was I in seventh or eighth grade?
I was asleep.
When you got elected?
Yeah, I was asleep.
I was awake. I have a video that no longer has sound because it was on my phone. So the video is so old. But I know I was in the bathroom like, we did it! We did it! But anyways, there was this girl in my class that was like, I don't understand what the big deal is. Like, it's just like, it's another president. Like, why do we care that he's black? And I didn't even let the teacher talk. I said, I got this one. Because the teacher was white. So I'm like, you don't know nothing. All right. So I started explaining to her about, like, because, you know, we was watching Roots. You know, we was watching Roots since we was five. Me and Breeze over here. So I'm over here.
I was not.
You will. Well, not since you were five.
I'm like, how did that work? How is that possible?
Anyway, let me tell my story. I was explaining to her, like, the importance of, like, the fact that there is a black president in office and that slavery was just, it just happened, like, last week for real. And they be trying to make it seem like it didn't. And this is a huge deal and racism and stuff. And I almost started crying. But I was mad. Like, how dare you? Like, you must have voted for the other guy. But we ain't vote.
We definitely did.
We was in middle school.
So. Yeah, see? And even during those times, right, I feel like it was such, even the people who were in power, like, if you look at who he was running against, was John McCain at the time?
I think it was John McCain.
I feel like it was John McCain.
Was Mitt Romney a VP candidate or something?
I think
something?
So. Okay. I think so. But I'm pretty sure it was John McCain. But, like, even if that was some of the last era of people where, like, a certain level of human decency was there. Mm-hmm. They would still be doing some wild stuff in the background, but it was still like, hey, listen, we gonna keep it cute in front of you.
Right.
Right. Now, it'd be like, okay, what you gonna do?
Even the news changed.
You're not gonna do nothing.
You're broke.
Keep buying your stuff, remember? Go ahead. Not gonna stop us. And they'd be like, God dang.
And that's why we're not having kids right now.
Y'all want to have a revolution? Revolution costs money.
Do you want a revolution?
They actually don't cost that much money.
To organize people?
I mean,
it was the revolution, like all during the civil rights movement, they the reason they were able to do it was because there were black people that had trades, and they were able to fund a lot of the stuff that was happening.
I mean, I don't think we have to do it the way that they did it back in the day. All we have to do is
think about it.
I was just going to say, buy black. Don't do the best that you can to not spend your money outside of your culture.
So the reason why that's difficult is because even a lot of the companies that are black owned, they are distributed through white platforms, or they might be like backed by larger white companies. Like it's a lot of nuances now, I think, when it comes to that type of stuff, especially since we purchase a lot of things online. I think back then we were like visiting and patronizing, like actually physically going into businesses. So you knew who owned this store or this thing because they lived up the street or you saw the owner often. Nowadays, you don't really know who owns what company.
You can look it up.
Yeah, but most people ain't looking it up, and it's a lot of inaccurate information out there. So, like, even with, let me think. Like, with Tabitha Brown stuff.
Don't she got a website?
A lot of her stuff was directly through Target. Like, it was a deal with Target. It was, like, a distribution deal. I don't know how it's set up now, but, like, the food and stuff that she was doing, the pots and pans, that was a Target collection. So then it's like, okay, well, I can go into these stores and just buy black so that they, you know, continue to stock the black stuff. But then it's also like, well, I'm still going into a white company that does not care about DEI in any way, shape, or form, because that's not just for black people. That's for women, for LGBTQIA+, and all of that stuff as well. So it's like, I think it's a lot more nuances. And then you have the stuff that's online where it's like, I don't really know if you're black. And sometimes people have it labeled as minority owned, which is fine. But are you a minority that doesn't like black people? Are you a black person that doesn't like black people? Like, yeah.
I was gonna say, I think it's beyond just buying black. Like, I think there's some stuff that we don't have to do that our ancestors did, but I think a lot, the basis of what they did was they got people to actually move their bodies and do something.
They organized.
And they did it around certain stuff, and it was like they boycotted. Like when it came to the bus boycotts, like realizing how long they didn't take the buses is correct. It was like it was months. Like, yeah. So it's like they all were like, all right, cool. And then they planned like, all right, this is what we're going to do. And like, I know y'all, it's going to be tough, but we're going to all do this together. And I think this is when I was talking about the individuality of everything. It's like for us, not specifically us, but I think for everybody now, it's like we all not doing good, but if I'm doing a little bit better, as long as I'm good, I'm straight. And it's like that doesn't help us to come together collectively and do anything.
I agree. And going back to the bus boycott, it was also because they organized people in a way that people were able to give other people rides. Mm-hmm. And like some people were willing to walk, and it was just, but either way they had somewhere to go. They had somebody like that could structure it, and they were willing to listen. Versus now, where a lot of people, they don't be listening. Or sometimes it be conflicting information. It be too many people trying to tell mm-hmm. everybody five different things to do, and it be confusing.
Yeah. And I think I think some of the stuff is working, like with the not shopping at Target. It's made a difference.
It definitely has made a difference.
And I mean, so I know some of the thing where people were in Tesla stock and everything, so it makes a difference. I just think in general, I think millennials just need a good like year or two to just let everybody else do what they're going to do, so we can mentally reset, emotionally reset, and then we can pop back up and just, you know,
pop back.
Let's see what y'all do. Yeah, like sometimes you got to pop out and that's when you can pop out and show.
I feel like we're there now. So I feel like once we because this is why I say that. We're there now because, again, we've experienced so much. We already know we don't got the capacity to deal with what's going on. So if our main focus is to enjoy life, we're going to show the world how to enjoy life. Y'all can stress, or y'all can come over here. Like, y'all can stress out, have people dancing in y'all videos.
But when you're ready, come over here. I'll show you how to grow some cabbage. It's like, now I don't know how to grow cabbage yet. Don't quote me on that.
Nah, but we've been through everything. We've been through so much. And I feel like we have a sense of purpose. We found out who we are, what we want to do, what we want to be. And now it's time for us to, like, it took a lot of time to unlearn, like, experience everything and then realize that this is not, we not doing this. We not. So then you gotta take time to unlearn and then relearn. Mm-hmm. And now I feel like we at a space where it's like, okay, we good. Yeah. Sunshine.
Word. Mm-hmm. I definitely agree with
that. Yeah, I agree. And again, like, for anybody who's not a millennial, we're not unbothered. We just don't want to be bothered with everything else.
Yeah, with y'all.
Because we've seen where it can go. And, you know, we've poured a lot of energy into a lot of it. Yeah. And so, and then realizing that they set us up for the okie doke, and it was like, wow, that was a lie. Like, you know what? How about y'all do something for a second? You know, y'all take the reins. Give us a second to recalibrate, and like I said, and I mean, I think we're probably at that space now. We ready to get back to it, but we need some time, y'all.
I will say this: a lot. I feel like we were gaslit a lot, even down to the idea of, like I said, going to college and getting a good job. That's what we were told. We followed instructions. There was a lot of times where we followed the instructions. And then when we got to the place where, all right, it's time to get a job and nobody's hiring you, even though you got this degree and this thing, we were then told that our generation was lazy and we don't want to work and that we just want to play video games and be on our phones or whatever. And now we do. Because
y'all stupid.
Because, like, the same
foolish.
Y'all the same people that told us to go to school so that we could get these degrees, but y'all didn't tell us it was going to take us 15 million years to pay off these degrees. And then you told us to get houses and da-da-da, start a family, all of the things. And then you told me, no, I will not hire you because you don't have 10 years of experience for this entry-level job. So, I think that there were a lot of things, a lot of times where we were gaslit, even with, like, some natural disasters or some things that happened with UFOs and all that stuff, being told that aliens and all that stuff wasn't real. Now, all of a sudden, hey, guys, they're actually real. We got CIA. And
one other thing, we had to learn all the planets and they took away Pluto.
Come on now, like... Now I don't know what the galaxy look like. Mm-hmm. Where is the Milky Way? It's like, nah. I never knew where that was, but
we live in
the Milky Way? Nah, for real?
I don't know.
Yes, this is the Milky Way galaxy.
For real?
Yes.
Oh my gosh, did y'all know that? I didn't know that.
Yeah, we probably learned that in third grade.
They never told me that. You know what happened? They were supposed to tell me that in fourth grade, but then I moved to Delaware and they was a year behind and everything. So then I just never learned it. That's what happened. Mm-hmm. That's my story and I'm sticking to it.
All right.
Yo, hold it down.
Mama, I love you. We had to look through that.
We lived through some stuff, man.
But I think that, I don't know, we're great. Like, we have a great generation. Like, even the fact that we lived through that mad cow disease, bird flu, swine flu, coronavirus, mm-hmm. All of the things. We've been
H1N1.
H1N1. Oh my gosh, I forgot about that.
Yeah,
we're crazy.
We're
trying to take us out. But that's all.
Had other plans.
Yes, Lord. Well, my. But, take us out of here, sister. Sister Shikoy.
I will just say, us millennials are amazing people. We wouldn't be the people that we were today if it wasn't for us going through and experiencing all the joys and the tragedies that have been these past few decades. But all in all, we are stronger because of it. Comment below and let us know what your thoughts are. Are you a millennial? Are you unbothered? Or do you just not care to be bothered with the foolishness? Let us know in the comments. But also, don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. Tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend. Hit that notification bell so you never miss an upload.
Ding.
And don't forget to join our Patreon. The link is in the description below, along with all the other things that we have going on. If you want to watch this podcast live early and join in on the conversation, definitely join the Patreon. Because we also have other things that are happening in the Patreon. Some behind the scenes, some first time access, some painting sessions, all of the things. So make sure you join the Patreon. But I'm Shikoy D.
Batman Breeze and Tenier.
It's your boy Damani.
And thank you for joining us for another episode of the Gray Area Podcast. And we will see you guys next week.
Adios.
Stay blessed. Stay black, people.
Yes. If you like this episode, you're going to love the one that's linked up on the screen. Bye.
Close the door.
You say what?
And know yourself. Know your worth. Jukebox, hit me with another jam.
Get on my face. Get on my
motherfucking
face.
Please.
Push the goddamn.